Welcome to the Denver Community Church Teaching Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us today from wherever you are, whether you attend one of our Denver locations or listen online. Our hope is to explore and participate in the life of Jesus so that we can be a healing presence in our world. As you listen to this teaching, allow it to begin a conversation between you and God, you and the Bible, and you and your community. If you have any questions about DCC or this teaching, you can email us at info@denverchurch.org. And if you'd like to financially support our community and beyond as we set aside 20% of every dollar given to support our partners locally and around the globe, you can text the words Denver Church to 77977. That's Denver Church to 77977. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, friends, and Happy New Year. As we launch into 2022, we will begin a journey in and through the Gospel of Luke. This gospel was fashioned in the style of the great Greek and Roman epics and was written to someone named Theophilus. Luke begins his gospel with these words in chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now there's that word, certainty. These words come to us as we stand at the head of another new year. For most of our lives, this has been a time when we gather with family and friends. We say goodbye to the year that was, and we greet the year to come with a toast. We raise our glasses and we shout, Happy New Year, as the clock strikes midnight. In those moments, we are filled with expectancy and anticipation of what lay in front of us and what will be in the days to come. In many ways, our celebrations around the new year reflect our beliefs that we know how things will go, that we understand how things work, that we have some sort of control over the world in which we live. Now, this is nothing new. For centuries, people living in the modern Western world believed we lived in a predictable, orderly, mechanistic universe, one that could be explained if we had enough time, data, numbers, equations, formulas, research, and experiments. We were confident in our ability to explain all the complexities of existence. But that way of thinking didn't last, because physicists observed subatomic particles and saw that at the smallest levels of existence, there was unexplained phenomenon, and their laws and theories, they couldn't make sense of what they observed. For centuries, we lived with a level of certainty, but new observations and discoveries blew that up. In a similar way, we have lived with a level of certainty in our world, but the last two tumultuous years have blown all of that up. The thin veneer of certainty we have enjoyed for so long has given way, and we have come face to face with the fact that there is very little that is certain. Perhaps this is why this time has been so difficult, because we have been forced to accept the truth that we really do not know much at all, that we have no idea what will happen next, that we don't know how things will go, that we don't understand how things work, and that we have little to no control over the world in which we live. So when we come to our New Year's celebrations the last 2 years, for many of us, they have been more measured. We find ourselves filled less with expectancy and anticipation and filled more with suspicion and trepidation. We are aware now more than ever there are no guarantees, that nothing is promised us. These last 2 years have revealed a painful truth to us. We live in the midst of a universe riddled with uncertainty. So when we come to these words written by Luke to Theophilus and we read about certainty, something within us may wonder if there really is such a thing. And this is not a small thing, because what's been subtly taught and caught is that central to Christianity is certainty. It is living as one who has complete confidence, who is unwavering in the midst of difficult circumstances, who never entertains doubts and has complete confidence in how things work. What we are experiencing in real time is that this kind of living, it works for a while until something comes along that disrupts all of that. A situation confronts us and explanations are found wanting. Our beliefs are challenged and we cannot reconcile what we have believed with new information. A question arises and we cannot find a suitable answer. And because we have come to believe that certainty is of utmost importance, when these things befall us, it can be devastating. For it seems like everything has fallen apart. Because in those moments when ironclad answers we have been given fail us, we wonder what else can be trusted. And for some, their response is to double down on the explanations and beliefs and answers in a way that almost feels like denial. For others, their response is that nothing can be trusted. And as a result, they wander away in hopes of finding something that might work, something that might offer just a little bit of certainty. And in this season, it's a time in which there are no answers or solutions or explanations. And so when we read the words Luke wrote to Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught, we may think to ourselves, you know what, please just save it for someone else. And if anything in you feels that way, let me suggest what you are feeling is not an expression of faithlessness, but it just may be an expression of faithfulness. Here's why I say that. Luke is one of four gospel writers, and there are many places in Luke's gospel that are in clear conflict with the other gospels and the details that they offer. Which means if Luke is after the hard facts, if he's wanting to establish an airtight case, if he really wants to provide certainty in the way we think of it, well, then the other gospels throw that into confusion. Which means it's possible Luke was after something other than how we think of certainty. The theologian Paul Tillich writes that healthy religion brings an awareness of the sacred, of the mystery. And our experience of the sacred is certain. However, he observes that at the same time, our experience of the sacred is also uncertain because it brings us, as finite beings, into relationship with the infinite mystery. It brings us into relationship with an infinite God. And he suggests that an element of uncertainty in our experience of God ought to be embraced. And maybe this is what Luke is getting at. He brings the reader into an awareness of the sacred, to an awareness of the life of Jesus. And in doing so, invites us to be certain about the life Jesus lived. But at the same time, there's an understanding that in Jesus, we are brought face to face with a great mystery. That in Jesus, we are invited into a relationship with the infinite in which there is uncertainty because we encounter the divine who is at the same time unknowable and endlessly knowable. Maybe, like the other gospel writers, Luke was dedicated to telling the truth about the life of Jesus, but he understood this truth was not accessible to our ordinary ways of knowing and seeing and understanding. Robert Griffith Jones writes, "The Gospels did not invite the reader to hear the evidence and assess it, but to be brought to a new understanding so alien to our ordinary ways of thinking and seeing that it could only be described as a rebirth." Luke's reader, he continues, is not invited to observe this story, to sit back and enjoy its adventure as though it's a novel. Here, for the reader, is a journey into the strange revolution that Jesus brings. You see, the Gospel of Luke is not a book filled with answers and explanations that lead us to certainty. Rather, the Gospel of Luke is an invitation for us to open ourselves to transformation, to walk, to see, to live in a new way, to notice that there is another world right here in the middle of this one. A world that is more real than the world that peddles certainty. Now keep in mind, the original hearers and recipients of the Gospels, well, they lived in a world that for them had been upended. Like us, they believed they knew how the world worked. It was certain. I mean, Caesar was on the throne. Global peace had been established. And if you lived according to the ways of the dominant order, you could make a good living. And for most citizens of the empire, things were coasting along just fine. But then there was this story that emerged about a peasant that was from the far western edge of the empire. It was a man who was executed on the cross by the state and had risen again on the third day, defeating the powers of sin and death. And while this story seemed far-fetched, it gained momentum and it began to upset the dominant order. For those alive at the time, it was a story well outside the bounds of certainty. Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, said this story was foolishness. Yet as foolish as it was this story that the fathers and mothers of the church staked their lives on. They trusted this story enough to question the dominant order. What they had was a new way of living, a way of life fashioned after the life of Jesus. Theirs was a life of faith. They abandoned the life of certainty offered by the empire and chose to live according to the ways of Jesus. This is the life we are invited into. Not a life of certainty, but a life that is defined by trust, a life that reflects faith. This way of living is far different than certainty. Anne Lamott, in her book Plan B, writes, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness, and discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. Certainty misses the point because it does not deliver the answers in the way we think it does. I mean, what happens when you can explain everything, but there's pain that still lingers? What happens when you can wrap your head around all of the circumstances involved, but the marriage still ends? What happens when you can comprehend all the converging factors that caused an estranged relationship, but nothing is resolved? You see, even in the moments when we can explain things, there is still something lacking. There's still something missing. And this is when faith calls to us, inviting us to believe there is another story being told. Faith does not claim to have all the answers. Faith does not propose an explanation for everything. Faith does not offer a way to skillfully avoid difficult circumstances. Faith invites us to trust the story of Jesus enough to keep on the journey, even when there are no answers, when we cannot explain anything, and when we feel overwhelmed by difficult circumstances and everything is falling apart. Faith is what happens after certainty has run out of steam and died. Because when certainty fails us, we find ourselves asking, "Now what?" And when we ask that question, we are open. We ask that question, we avail ourselves to something new being born in us and in our world. You see, certainty doesn't allow for questions. Certainty demands answers. But faith invites questions. And when we ask questions, when we express our doubts, when we admit that we don't know, when we stand at the beginning of a new year with uncertainty glaring at us, it's then we learn faith opens us up to endless possibilities. Faith brings to us the opportunity to be transformed. Because seasons like the ones that we are living through have questions of their own, each of them asking in their own way whether we will trust the story of Jesus enough to keep on the journey even when everything is falling apart. And maybe this is the invitation the new year offers us. Not to have all the answers and explanations, but rather to have faith, to live in the midst of our questions, our doubts, and our uncertainties as we journey together into the strange revolution that Jesus brings.